This is the First Time Podcast.
Part reality series.
Part writer's masterclass. It's a podcast about the first time
you publish a book.
I'm Kate Mildenhall.
And I'm Catherine Collette. Welcome to The First Time.
Hello, Catherine. How are you?
Back in the hood.
Back in the hood. What, can you tell that I'm not on my, you know, beachside attic looking out over the waves without the pitter-patter of children?
Out of interest, how many people can sleep in that beautiful
Upstairs, there's like the master bedroom. That's it. But then downstairs in that kind of like, in the pictures you'll see it, it's like the little...
It looks like a flying saucer.
Yeah. Well, the bit that's holding the flying saucer up has got another bathroom and a bunk room in it with like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 beds in it. So,
wow.
You know.
Do you think you can take the family for a retreat?
You can, actually. I think that's part of their whole philosophy is that it's, you know, meant to be accessible to people with families and the last time I did it, I actually did bring the kids on the weekend at one stage. I mean, you know. Doesn't work so much with the retreat.
Yeah. Do you want to establish that precedent?
Yeah.
But still.
Gosh, though, it was a successful little week. I didn't quite hit my 80,000 words mark, but I very nearly did. And I was done. I was, you know, I got to the end of what I wanted to get. I have got this beautiful printout sitting next to me, waiting for me. I'm not allowed to open it or look at it until I'm back from Margaret River Writers Festival.
How did next you print week. It? Do you send it to Officeworks?
yes, Catherine. The Officeworks that is called my husband's work is.
I reckon that was the reason, like a large proportion of the business that Officeworks was doing. Because I went there to print stuff a couple of times. There were so many people, and like I reckon most of those people would generally have been absorbed by people's workplace.
Exactly.
All the rest.
So thank you to my husband's work, and I hope that none of you are listening. but yeah, it's there, and I've already put in my calendar 2 days when I get back from the festival where I'm just going to sit and read through it. But I have, of course, and this is what I want to talk to you about today, because I have, of course, forgotten entirely, despite the fact that this is my third time round at this particular process, the novel writing process, I've forgotten what happens next. Like, what do you do after this bit? So I wanted to ask you, do you remember for this project that you're on now, when you finished what we'll call the first draft?
I reckon just one draft bleeds into another for me. I don't have many that are distinct. I do have points that I decide that is a draft and I print it out and I 100% of the time never ever read it.
Not even, so you print it out.
Which is like a taxing process, even if you have a workplace, because you have to go through the binding, hole punching, which is easily the most challenging part of producing a manuscript.
Okay, so hang on. So you print it out, like thinking, okay, now I'm going to mark that up or I'm going to let it sit. Do you have a period of time where you let the thing sit?
I definitely let it sit and I come back to it, but I never ever feel the need, which is, I feel like maybe a fundamental flaw in the process. I never feel the need to pick it up and put it back down. I reckon in that pause time is when in my head what bubbles to the surface are the things I feel, not anxious is the wrong word, but the things that I'm like, that's not working.
Yeah, right.
That there'll be like these moments that I'm like, I have never liked that bit. And now, you know, with the benefit of 3 weeks away or a month away or 2 months away or whatever, I have a burning desire to change that bit.
That's interesting. So you're just, but you are trusting that that is just bubbling up in your subconscious and you're not like actively sitting down and, I don't know, doing morning pages and thinking about that it or anything. You're just letting that stuff come to the surface.
Yeah. And often it will be things that I've flip-flopped on for ages, but the act of, it's a bit like sending the email and realizing.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yes.
Sending the email. I actually think sending the email now is a really integral part of the process. So even if you don't have, if you don't want to send it to a high stakes person like an agent or an editor, send the manuscript to someone and have that terrifying feeling of, oh God,
well,
I really needed to fix
all
that.
All these strong feelings about, and this innate knowledge about the bits that are really not working.
I wonder if there's a word for that. Okay, so you get this bubbling subconscious, and then you approach the manuscript again from top to bottom or to the bits that you need to fix?
So then get out a spreadsheet.
Of course, and get out a spreadsheet.
So this book has been a behemoth because it has every kind of thing that I always thought was essentially meaningless is things that I've spent long times going over. Like first and third person, never really thought that that was a meaningful decision. I have written the whole thing in third person. I've written the whole thing in first person. I've written half and half. I've had 4 points of view. I've had more than 4 points of view. I've had 1 point of view. Like I have had so many permutations of this novel. So for this one, I have, so the spreadsheet looks like I'm from one particular character's point of view is most of the novel and kind of the main through line. I'll have column headers that are each of the other characters. And then I just plot what happens in the relationship between those two characters. I highlight what needs to change and then I cut into it that way.
Okay, and that is a separate activity that cannot be like exported from Scrivener, that particular process. That is a process in itself.
And I only work in thirds. So I do the first third and I don't even think about the rest. And then I do the next. And I plot it. I work out what needs to change. Then I go into the document. I change the things that need to change. And then I go to the next third and then I plot the next third. So I do it like that.
Oh my gosh, your brain is like something that I want for many aspects of my life. Okay, next question then. If, for instance, you're doing that like change of narrative point of view, would you go in and go, okay, I'm changing from first to third at the same time as that? Are you also picking up things, deleting things, looking at other stuff, or are you just concentrating solely on that particular through line of editing?
I will have the through line and I'll have scenes that need to change, like this needs to come in here, but I'll start at the top of the through line and go third from first to third, and then I'll get to the scene that needs to change and I'll handle the changes and the tense change at the same time.
Yeah.
So I'll go
interesting
that way.
Because before we started recording this, when we were just doing general Kate and Catherine life admin, we were talking about the difficulty in like whether it's easy to work in chunks of time or around your other work. And some things in the editing process, like those like changes to a character or a narrative line, through line, you have to kind of hold the whole thing in your head. So it can be, I imagine...
perfect for chunks, isn't it?
Yeah, because you're doing it like, okay, well, Tuesday when I've got 2 hours, I'll fix the thing where they were born 10 years later or whatever. Okay, very interesting.
I'm fascinated by the process that people take and how that's refined over time.
Well, how they refine it for themselves or how they take on other people's structures, editing structures as well, because when do you...
I think what I lose, can I say, though, in that process is I lose sentences, good sentences, because I'm not... So I actually think this time I may print an older version and a newer version and the newest version because aspects will need to be the same so that I can keep... So that you keep some of... Because I think, although I'm not a huge fan of first drafts, I think early incarnations of scenes have a lightness that later ones somehow tend to lose.
Yeah, a lightness and a rawness, and it's almost in their kind of naive attempt to like get down the guts of the thing. So they're often overwrought and overwritten. But I remember when I don't know if we were recording, but remember when I thought I'd lost the first 20,000 words. And I was devastated, beside myself, because there is something in those words which I think are
To me,
very
those
particularly useful.
words are very talky in the sense of I can hear myself a lot more, like because I'm just telling it, sort of, yeah.
When's the first time you handed away? Because I know that you've had some very useful conversations, for instance, with your husband, whereas it's almost
He
impossible
isn't
to me to
desperate to
even
be
get my
involved, like.
husband to read my books at the end of the process.
I
So
think
just
that's really common, and I have no problem with that.
no, but so Carney is one of the people who reads your work. Like,
He's the
when do
actually
you let it
only
go?
one, aside from Mandy. I normally am sending it to Mandy on a, because I've said I would send it, and it's probably a little bit later than what I said that I would send it. She's obviously a lot busier than Carney in terms of reading. So sometimes Carney will read before I send it to Mandy. Sometimes I won't. He actually is a good reader because he's not really a reader. And he has no problem being critical. But we have
Love
learned to negotiate a way of doing that. I think that's good. And like, I wouldn't overuse him because he's also not a reader or a writer, so he can become enamored with his own advice a bit. But I probably need to increase my readership. I think that would be, in terms of beta readers and those sorts of things, I think there's a lot of value in that.
So you're about to go into getting edits back from your editor. How does that process look different from you? I'm a million miles off this part yet on this book, but just in advance for you, are you, you know, does Mandy work with a hand marked up kind of piece? Are you doing it? Like,
So
what's the process?
we're going to meet this week, and that will be discussion based. And I think a lot of that is about will be about simplifying. So that works pretty well for discussion. She only touches it really late in the piece, really. She works, God, I can't even remember. She works on
It's like your
paper.
birds, you
That's a
just
huge moment. Yeah, but that's a
cut each
huge
one out.
moment. Once I look forward to receiving her handwritten stuff because I'm like, whoa, that's a huge marker. We are on a home stretch at this point.
Oh my gosh, that seems so far away, but so very exciting and amazing. Thank you.
But
I
have you
now
got a
feel.
full, have you got a draft that has an end?
Yeah, but I had
Okay.
the end. I'd already written the end because I didn't
Oh, okay.
write this one completely in motion. But I have done, I must admit to that Adam did actually print out two copies at work this week because I
It's
have
such
done
a
my. It's so
like a
big.
what's the word? Surreptitious
I know.
act. Like I always send another document first to make sure the printer's working and all warmed up. I've scoped where I'm going to do the binding.
But also, like, remembering to, because I'm obviously not the one going to the office, remembering to go back to original and not have the comments on the side so that you don't actually get it in like eight font. Anyway, my insurance policy, which I think we've talked about before on here, is that I also give it to my mum at the same time.
Oh,
So
that's fun.
she's having first read so that she can kind of say in a general sense, this character has eight different names. Kate, is that something you
Yeah.
intended? Which, of course, it never is. So mum is reading it at the moment, which is pretty lovely.
One of the things when you switch point of views, or you do first to third and that sort of stuff, it's hard not to be really sloppy in that because you're retyping and you say, he walk, jump, hop to, or
Also,
it sort of
like it,
flows.
as I hit Thursday, coming to Thursday, Friday, when I knew I had, to hit 4,000 words a day and I knew what scenes I wanted to write, I just didn't write down any of the names of the kind of the
Yes.
additional
Oh, I hate all
characters
those
because I'm
people.
like, who are all these
So
blokes in the union?
annoying.
Like, you
Yeah.
know,
Yes.
they're all called Billy
Yeah, you should just
or
have like
Wilco.
AA, BB, CC, DD, and then you can like find and replace.
Yeah, I should have done that. Anyway, I've gone back and done that. On reading, tell me. I did a bit of reading last week because I was
You were
lolling about
alone.
and alone, and I listened to, I think I said this in our Instagram live, which we really quite enjoyed.
Oh, that was good.
It was
We're gonna
fun.
make it shorter next time.
Yeah, and we're gonna turn, I'll make sure that camera's facing me to begin
Oven man.
and that we
I
know.
have to, I feel like I have to explain the oven man.
Oh yeah.
At the start, I was like, the oven man's here, but the oven man, like, he just dropped in. Like, I had planned where it
What
was
does the oven
six
man
people.
drop in regularly, Catherine? Is this a
No, there's a whole story behind the oven man.
Well,
But
clearly.
he just, like, there was a knock at the door, and often I won't answer a random knock on the door. I will just generally ignore it.
How many
But
people? But this is you,
we
inner
get a
city
lot.
people.
We get a lot.
If
We get a
someone knocks on
lot.
my door, I'm like, come on in and have a cuppa, because of where I live.
Well, we get a lot of, like, collectors,
Yeah, okay.
survey people, that sort of thing.
Okay.
So I think we were about to record in sort of half an hour, and he was like, "Oh, just be honest in that area."
I
I was
was
like,
in the
"Oh,
area and I thought I'd check on your oven.
had a part. We were waiting on him for a part."
Right, okay.
Yeah, but it was bad timing. But he's a very nice man.
Next time, please let him make a cameo. So I think I already mentioned this. I listened to Hot Stew, Fiona Mosley's new one. I really recommend it. It was excellent. And I listened to the interview with her. The reason I picked it up, or I purchased it on the audiobooks, is because I heard her interviewed by Claire Nichols. So, you know, these things really do work. Excellent article, excellent interview with Claire Nichols that we'll link to. And the other one that I read, which I was just showing you before, is this amazing book by Joseph Pontes, I think. It's French. It's called On the Line, Notes from a Factory, and it's published by Black Ink, translated by Stephanie Smee, and I loved it so much that I immediately, without even asking you, Catherine, I apologize, emailed Stephanie Smee and said, I want to interview you for the podcast. So that will be coming up because I'm just completely obsessed with the idea of how these words, it's written like in
Translation must be
poetry
such an
form as
art.
well.
Must
Yeah,
it's such a
it,
secret art. So it's sort of
exactly.
like
Well, it's not going to be secret anymore because we are going
no
to
one.
reveal all on the podcast.
That would be an interesting thing to win an award in, like,
Yeah.
because really the best, the fairest way to win an award could be to have everyone translate the same book, which would
Well,
be like
have
competitive
you read
translation.
George Saunders yet? The Swim in
No,
the Pond?
I just got sent some
Yeah,
George
well,
Saunders.
the
Oh, I'm
reason
very
too, I
keen.
think I'm so obsessed with it at the moment is because in A Swim in the Pond in the Rain, because he's dealing with those five, seven, I can never remember, Russian short stories that have been so widely and extensively translated, there's quite a number of sections where
Oh,
he refers
he
to
can do
five
that.
or six different translations of a sentence or a particular part of the stories. And so it's really extraordinary to see how different people have translated those stories as well, and the way he talks about it.
It's like how I think in the State Library there's a quote that no one ever reads the same book. Like, it's an
It's true.
expression of that, isn't it? Like, it works
Absolutely.
on so many different levels.
So
A
that's
lot of
me.
people have talked about that George Saunders book, and
Get it in your ears or in your eyes. But he reads the audiobook, which is apparently very good. I've got the other one and I've marked it up incredibly, but everyone says the audiobook's excellent too.
do you really mark it up?
Well, not mark it up as in.
Like, do you highlight, or like,
Yeah,
what?
George Saunders and Charlotte Wood, I do. Generally not fiction. Non-fiction, I write notes to myself. Sometimes I, put little love hearts in the margins even, Catherine. I
When
know.
I get copies of those when you're dead, I always like to read what other people have written on those things, but I wouldn't
I'll
do it
add them to
myself.
the list.
Similar vein, but this is my equivalent of Charlotte Wood, her In the Writer's Room, is called Sick in the Head by Judd Apatow. Do you know Judd Apatow?
Oh.
He's like a movie person.
Yeah.
He was in, yeah, he was in The Breakfast Club. I think
Yeah.
that's, he was like the bad boy. Anyway, he has done, when he was 15, he joined his local student radio station and just called famous comedians at the time and said, "Oh, I'm from this radio station. Can I interview you?" And people like Jerry Seinfeld said, "Sure." And then, so then he
The
would go with
balls
his,
of the
like,
kid, my goodness me.
nine, I know. So then he would go out with his, like, suitcase full of stuff. It's 1982, and interview, like, Jay Leno, Jerry Seinfeld, all these kinds of people. So he has put together a book. It's got some interviews from those days, some more recent interviews, and some interviews in between with top-notch comedians, and it's incredible. I mean, it's very male-heavy and quite white. That aside, I cannot stop reading it. It's so good. There's a particularly good one with Lena Dunham. They work together on Girls. It's really good.
Do you know what just strikes me as I'm sitting here seeing you enthuse on this? How you when you mention books and podcasts, I have never heard of them. And I want to know the stream of input into your brain and where you get these recommendations from. I'm like, I normally
Well,
think I'm
this
across
is.
everything, and I love that we just have
I know.
entirely different bookshelves, but I'm going to get that.
It's got a great discussion with Lena Dunham, and maybe we'll talk about it in greater depth another time. But it talks about diversity because Girls, her TV series, was criticized a lot for not having much diversity. And they have quite a real candid discussion from white people's point of view on diversity. And I think it's insightful. This
Excellent.
book, I
Yes, we
just
will
got
do a whole
walking in the
episode.
library. So I was in the nonfiction section. I don't even know what I was doing, but I saw a spine that was the history of Blackadder. You know that TV show? So I was like, oh, that could be interesting. And this was next to the history of
I'm in the
Blackadder.
right section.
Yeah, that's right. The Blackadder book, terrible.
Okay,
Like,
great.
do not need to read the history of Blackadder.
Okay, don't put that one on your
Not
reading list.
especially funny. Like,
Okay.
quite bad, really. But this one is just absolute gold.
Talking about funny, how was improv this week? Did you get invited into the cool gang?
I'm in the group. I'm in the group.
Is that because they listen to
Probably the
the
oldest person. I have this fear that they do listen to the podcast, and that's the only reason I'm in the group.
Hello,
But
everyone in the group
hi
from
guys,
improv.
I'm in. It's a really nice group. It's so fun and positive and uplifting, and I really love this message around. I mean, there's a few, but just that initial creative compulsion. Go with your gut. Go with the first thing.
Yes.
Go with the easiest thing. Go with the, what actually makes sense. It's really fun.
Have you had a like utter fail yet?
Well, they're very thoughtful in the way they introduce you to it because in the early stages, we're at about week five, the scenes that you do are only three line scenes. So one
Oh,
person
nice.
says, duh, duh. So that's pretty manageable.
Yep.
They seem very cognizant of. Like even in your first one, I was like internally panicking, but at no point, the worst bit far and away was the going around the circle saying your name and why am I here and what's my performance history, that sort
What
of stuff.
is your performance history?
It's very dated. It dates from high school. It was fairly limited then, even.
I remember, I feel like I have to say this because I keep thinking about it when you're talking about improv, is that I did all the theatre stuff at high school and then got into uni and thought, yeah, I can do this. And ended up, all I can remember is being at RMIT in that big hall and like all of us sitting around smoking in the theatre because it was like that is what drama students did, despite the fact that I wasn't a drama student. And then I put up my hand to do like this full monologue, which I had to deliver from the back of the theatre, holding a bicycle with a bike helmet on. Mate, and I think that's where it died for me, actually. I didn't
I meant to sign
ever
up for
come
uni
back.
theatre as well, but I didn't make it that far. I think I was far too intimidated. I was used to the realm of an all-girls school where you sometimes have to play, well, you frequently play male parts and have like sponged on beards, which is, I just have such shuddering memories of the sponged on beard.
I had to do that anyway. I always had to play the guy. Oh dear, theatre history. Excellent. Well, I'm glad we obviously will be catching up on the improv.
Well, I have a
She says
show, but I'm
improv.
not. They make you do a show. I've not been isolated and selected for a show, but I'm not going to invite anyone to the show. I suspect the kids will want to come. Maybe they're allowed to come, but
I'm calling Carney and finding out.
that
Now,
shall be it.
before I let the audience go, you know I'm going away. I have to tell everyone that I'm doing lots of things and it's very exciting. And if you happen to live in Perth or in the West, please come and say hello because I am crossing the border, Catherine. I'm just going to put it out there and say it now. I don't even care if I'm going to jinx it.
Can I say, as someone who is like, would be a person that would not say hello, like I'm not innately the person that says hello, but people have said hello to me now in life. It's the coolest thing.
It is.
If it is never not awesome
It is
if
never
you
not
are on the
awesome.
receiving end of a hello.
Yeah, and please know that that there are some people still in the lit world who I have said hello to who maybe don't come across with the enthusiasm that you really want to receive from a hello. I will give you an enthusiastic
Yes, Kate
hello.
is a great
I
enthusiastic
promise if you come and say
respondent.
hello.
And
And
all you have to
also,
say is, I really liked the book, or I
you don't
listened to the
even.
podcast,
And do you know
whatever.
what? Here's another piece of permission. If you haven't read any of my books and maybe
True.
you've only ever listened to this episode of the podcast, we don't
Doesn't
care. Still
matter.
come and say hello. And if you've got a question, ask a
Yeah.
question. It's just the best thing ever. So I'm going to be in Perth. I'm going to be at Rabble Books. I don't even know the date. Anyway, there'll be things in the show notes,
A
but I'm
broad month, like what this is January. Oh, sorry, June you'll be there.
No, May. May.
May.
It's
Oh,
like
it's still
really, really
close.
soon.
Okay.
So I'll be at Rabble Books with amazing with Karen Wild and Evelyn Araluen, both of whom we've spoken to, and Adam Thompson. And then at Beaufort Books the next night. And Annabelle Smith is doing the in convo with me, which is so delightful. But before that, I'll be at Margaret River. So if also you happen to be in the lovely Margaret River region, I've got a bunch of events on there and I am so excited. Also, Brisbane Writers Festival is on the weekend of the 7th to 9th. So when we put this to air, it will have been done. But the joy of writers' festivals these days is that they're online. And so you can just keep on watching after the event. So I've got an event there with Kirsten Alexander and Kimberly Starr, where we talk about
Kirsten
our
Alexander
books.
knockout in person, like talking about books and stuff. She
Yeah.
is incredible.
She was great, and they have some very good points on how they do narrative tension in their books, which are both like utter rip-roaring page turners. So it will all be in the show notes if you want to come to any of those things. I will count the people who say hello, and I'll be so excited if you do. We'll do selfies and stuff. You can find the show notes for today's episode on our website, thefirsttimepodcast.com. Get in touch with us via Instagram or Twitter at thefirsttimepod, or you can leave us a message on the website. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to The First Time Podcast. We record this podcast virtually on the unceded lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders, past and present, and we extend that to our First Nations guests and listeners. Sound production by Phoebe 80, who we can employ because of the wonderful support of our patrons via Patreon. Thank you so much for making this podcast possible.